It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. That is us. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who's not lying to you a little bit about January 6th. The media sure did. And now they're lying about Tucker Carlson's take on their lies.
The media is a bunch of losers. A
lot of people feel that way. And to be clear, nobody's saying January 6th was good. Nobody's saying it was peaceful. But any objective observer is saying the media has been lying their activist asses off.
Correctamundo.
We will discuss with Katie Pavlich. We're also going to chat with Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick, who weighs in on the banning of tennis star Novak Djokovic because he's not vaccinated.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I mean, if you were going to talk from a competitive standpoint, actually, the unvaccinated players do have a big advantage over the vaxxed players who all have myocarditis at this point. I mean,
I think he's got a point.
Oh, I'm being silly. 888-788-9910 if you want your voice heard. In this audio safe space for cool people. I say it every day. I'm not an activist. I'm a talk show host. I don't care what you believe. I don't care how you vote. Everybody's welcome. It's Fox Across America, our family meeting. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. You can be a Libertarian. You can be independent. All we ever ask is that you don't be a There it is. Hey, girl. Happy Wednesday. I was on the Ingram Angle last night with Laura Ingram. And we had a great chat. We were talking about Saturday Night Live. And then we got into, wow, it's pretty funny. If you missed it, it's on the Fox Across America Facebook page. You can go to Fox Across America on the Facebook page. You can watch the whole video. But we started off talking about Saturday Night. I'm sorry, Mikey. And did we just need to interrupt the whole gosh dang show to say that? That was a weird thing to insert. I started talking and Mikey goes, and it's on the website. It's like, but you said it with such a degree of urgency.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
He said, Mikey, you said that like... It's like the craziest thing. Like there's an intruder on the phone. It's like, oh, run for it. Folks, it's on the Fox Across America Facebook page. And as Mikey interrupted the show to tell me, it is also on the Fox Across America website.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Mikey! So when we weren't talking about SNL, Laura and I got into some taxicab confessions. You know, we were talking about crazy things I had seen in a cab. And I told a weird story about I once picked up on the Lower East Side a beer-drinking goat.
What the hell did you just say?
True story. And it was a guy who had a goat that drank long-neck bottles of beer. And he was just chugging them on the way uptown. And he had claimed the goat at some point was going to audition for Stupid Pet Tricks on Letterman. And the whole time I'm just sitting there watching it like...
Have you ever had a checkup?
I don't know, but it was funny, and I did. I had a beer with a goat once. It's a proud moment in the Failla family. I also once picked up a woman who got in with 2 sock puppets on each hand. Like a woman wanted to go to Cadman Plaza in Brooklyn, and she had 2 sock puppets that were communicating with me. And one of them was like, hey, we're going to Cadman Plaza, take the Manhattan Bridge. And the other one was like, no, take the Williamsburg Bridge. And these 2 puppets fought with each other over where we were going and how we were getting there the whole time. And at one point, they started picking on me. And what I consider to be the low point of my adult life, I turned and yelled at a puppet. Turned and yelled at a stranger's hand. And I caught myself in the mirror at that moment. And I was like, you just yelled at a sock, Jimbo. You're going to have to live with that for the rest of the life. This happened. You're going to have to own this. You yelled at a sock.
That was embarrassing.
That wasn't a proud moment. But those are the kind of weird things you'd see in a taxi. You know, just spontaneous craziness come barreling into your cab. And you kind of learn to develop a horse sense. And I bring this up because I want to talk to you as a cab driver for a minute here, who did, in fact, survive on instinct. You know, you pick people up in weird hours of the night. You know, you got some time traveler with no pants on talking to himself, holding a screwdriver, might want to stab you in the head with it.
This could be a problem.
And you really do get good at developing your instincts. You really get good at developing your horse sense, so to speak, because it kind of becomes a survival skill. Because, as you know, like in the beginning, you get into a cab and you're like, gosh, I don't want anybody to kill me. You know, then you're sitting in traffic for 6 months and you're like, gosh, I wish somebody would get in and kill me.
Bingo.
Kind of your perspective changes after you spend 12 to 15 hours a day in traffic for a couple of months. But I had a really odd horse sense this week as I've been watching the coverage of January 6th, specifically the fact that Tucker has been airing unseen January 6th videos. Okay, he's been airing, you know, basically an alternative perspective to what we were initially told, some things that contradict the mainstream media narrative. But essentially, my reaction to what I've watched, it's purely speculative. I'm not going on fact here, but it's been on my mind. So I wanted to put it on yours because it's a really weird thing going on in this country right now. And not only is there like some type of an odd war on objective truth, but there's a war on consensus. It's almost like we're not allowed to agree because it's not valuable to the people who benefit from political division. It's not valuable to the one party that likes to run on grievance. You know, they want you to have something to be angry about at all times. They want you to have somebody to look down on at all times. And I'll kind of, in a long-winded way, kind of work you through this. But let's start with the overarching premise. Tucker Carlson, at no point this week, has been saying January 6th was fine, it was A-OK, it wasn't bad at all, there wasn't any violence. To be clear, he's showing a lot of violence. We're seeing footage of people breaking through windows, attacking cops, scaling walls. OK, things we all witnessed with our own eyes in real time and we all condemned in real time. I was on the air January 6th, 2021 when it happened. OK, and we were watching in real time. We were like, oh, hell no, you can't stop it. What are you doing? You can't storm the Capitol. And we all agreed on that. But Tucker's making a larger point that the media's characterization of events that way was distorted in the immediate aftermath and henceforth. And it clearly was. OK, they had claimed at the time what? It was a deadly white supremacist insurgent attempt to overthrow the government.
That is a fact check false.
It's not true. Okay. They were not storming the government because of white supremacy. It was not a coup attempt. We were not moments away from having the guy in the Chewbacca bikini sworn in as our president. But the Democrats ran with a narrative in the immediate aftermath that these white supremacists tried to overthrow the government. And that five people were killed that day. Not true. Okay, they told you Brian Sicknick, Officer Sicknick, God rest his soul. I wish him and his family no ill will. But they told you that he was bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. The New York Times reported that a woman was trampled to death by the mob. Okay, to be clear, any death, any carnage is too much. And one person did die that day. It was an unarmed Trump supporter by the name of Ashley Babbitt. But to this day, they haven't revised their reporting on Sicknick. They haven't revised their reporting to reflect that Ashley Babbitt was the only person killed. Okay, they've carried on. And again, nobody is saying January 6th was fine. Nobody's saying it was okay. Okay, but that's where the distortions come in. OK, a lot of people on the left don't get anything out of consensus. So they need a grievance, a secondary grievance that they inject into these stories.
That's true. That is true.
A good example I would give you is the George Floyd video. We all agree. Like when you watch the George Floyd video, we were all like, all right, dude, you can't do this. Derek Chauvin can't kneel on a guy's neck for 8 minutes after he's been handcuffed and he's face down on the pavement. We all agreed with that. But the agreement in an election year wasn't really that viable to the Democrats. So what did they tell you? They said, well, it wasn't Derek Chauvin that knelt on George Floyd's neck. It was all of America. We're systemically racist. And here's the proof.
Democrats are so full of crap.
And we were like, wait, what? No. But that's where it went. OK, we all said the cops should be prosecuted. They took it a step further And if you pushed back against that, you became Derek Chauvin. That's what they, well, you might as well have knelt on his neck. Clearly, you don't care about the black people. Okay, and that became the battle line in the stand. And that's where we are on January 6th. Everybody knew it was bad. Nobody was watching this being like, whoa, oh, good day for America. Wow. Well, a lot of us, objective observers, were watching this. And we're like, oh, my God, this is almost as bad as that time they attacked the White House. Oh, my God, this is almost as bad as that time they were burning down Seattle or Portland or New York or Philadelphia or Kenosha or Baltimore.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Our immediate takeaway was, yes, it was horrible. Okay, almost as bad as those other events the media told us were fiery, but mostly peaceful. That's what we were told. But the big accusation in this moment by the people who told you that George Floyd riots were fiery but mostly peaceful, riots that caused $2 billion worth of property damage, riots that left over 40 people dead, okay, that same media who said no big deal, nothing to see here, now wants you to believe that Tucker Carlson is sanitizing violence.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
And it bothers me. It's the reason I wanted to talk about it. Okay, there's this really disgusting thing going on in this country where Tucker admitted, he's like, yeah, it's violent, bad, shouldn't go on. But it's not what they said. They distorted reality. And their response to that is to distort his actions. Like, oh, he's saying it was fine. Look what he's doing. It's going to inspire another one. He's doing Putin's work. He's showing people around the Capitol.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
It's really hard for me to watch, okay, because that's the truth. Nothing they're characterizing his actions as is true, okay? And to be clear, and, you know, this is just my opinion, but what I really get based on the reaction to Tucker and Tucker calling out the mischaracterizations of January 6th and subsequently being mischaracterized in his intention is it really does tell my taxi instincts. You know, the guy that would pick up a hobbit who was drinking a St. Ide's malt liquor at 3:50 in the morning, you know. You see a lot of weird stuff out there in the cab, you know. And that horse sense tells me that in this moment, for whatever reason, there's such a vicious backlash to what Tucker is doing that I almost believe it, like the tippy top of the Uniparty. There are probably a lot of people in both parties, okay, who realize there's a lot more nuance to this than we're being told. But it doesn't necessarily benefit them to share that with us. And what I mean by that is, okay, when you look out at January 6th, there's obviously a lot of people committing violent acts that should be arrested and prosecuted. Obviously, you can't make that argument that it didn't happen because you watched it with your eyes. So I'm not going to insult your intelligence and say it didn't happen. But at the same time, there's probably a decent amount of Fed participation exacerbating the situation. Okay, but it's only possible because Trump had this event down the street from the Capitol. He had a Stop the Steal rally, you know, because his ego couldn't bring him to concede. And again, I know there were irregularities in the 2020 election. I know there were different ways that we voted that were kind of unprecedented, but it doesn't mean we've ever been able to turn over concrete proof that it was stolen. So I don't want to just go out there and say something was stolen with no proof, because that doesn't make you a Republican. That makes you a Democrat.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
So let's not act that it's so unprecedented to say an election was stolen, because that was the previous election's Democratic Party standard bearer saying just the same. But the point is, Trump created a situation in having that rally down the block from the Capitol. I had called it out as stupid the week before. I had called it out as stupid the day of. And lo and behold, something that started out as stupid got catastrophically worse for this country. Okay. And again, I'm as shocked as you are that anybody would vote for Joe Biden. Okay. But when Donald Trump got out and had that event, the feds didn't say, no, don't do it. They said, come on down. Come on, girl.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
And why do I have a good eye? Because I think they, on some level, wanted this to happen. That's kind of my 3 a.m. horse sense there's a guy in the back of the cab talking to himself and reaching into his jacket, and I've got to make a gut call on what I've seen. What I really think happened, to put this to bed, is I do think Trump played into the Fed's hands a little bit by having this rally. I think Trump played into the establishment's hands, the people who wanted to be done with him. And I think they took advantage of a situation, and they were allowed to make it worse. Were there people in the Capitol legitimately breaking the law? Absolutely. Were some in the Capitol feds? My horse sense says yes. I'm not going to lie. It says yes. I don't know that. I can't prove that. This is just horse sense. But the truth is, no one in the media and none of the D.C. politicians want to be honest with you about the nuances of this situation, because it doesn't benefit any of them to do so. And that's why you're getting the level of blowback at Tucker that you're getting. Understand, Tucker is not saying January 6th should be a national holiday. He's not showing the footage and being like, if you like pina colada, you know, he's not telling you to come have a drink. It's a party. He's saying it's bad. It's a bad day for the country. But there are people opportunistically distorting something we all agreed on to be bad for their own political gain. And the fact that him calling out their distortions has resulted in such a massive hyperbolic distortion of his intent of what he's doing, okay, it tells me there is some type of uniform effort being made in Washington to give January 6th a higher meaning than the one we all initially agreed on was bad.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Taking the edge off, one story at a time.
America needs to learn how to lighten up.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
It is Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. I am on the Sean Hannity show tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You'll see me on Hannity tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. Breaking news could change that, but the word on the street right now, I was just talking to the Sean man, is that we're doing it live tonight in front of a studio audience, 9 p.m., right here on the Fox News Channel. People are excited about that, and rightfully so. And you should be excited about today's show. Katie Pavlich is coming by. Kat Kamick is coming by. She's my good pal from the 3rd Congressional District of Florida. She's going to weigh in on this Djokovic story. It's so stupid, but Novak Djokovic is banned from competing in this Florida tennis tournament because he's unvaccinated. Folks, the tournament is outside, number one. Number two, if you think the vaccine works, as all these people mandating it claim, then it shouldn't matter if anyone else is vaccinated.
That's true. That is true.
It's like the mask thing. If you think your mask works, shut up. You don't need to worry about whether or not I'm wearing mine. Again, do you call up your neighbor and demand that he put on a winter coat so you don't get frostbite? Of course not. But that's the ridiculousness of the vaccine mandate. I mean, I guess the ridiculousness of the vaccine mandate is the guy that implemented said we'd never have one before he implemented it.
Another question from another student. Would you support a nationwide mandate of the COVID vaccine once it comes out?
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Oh, you don't say. Well, lo and behold, we wound up mandating one.
Fauci's just pulling stuff out of his butt.
A lot of people feel that way. And as we're watching the hearings on the Hill today about the COVID origins, they're only getting madder at Fauci.
He should be behind bars.
Oh, girl. It is Fox Across America. Your main man, Jimmy Failla. you're watching the Fail-O-Vision, me and Hannity tonight. I was on with Laura Ingraham yesterday. I was on Fox and Friends yesterday with the great Brian Kilmeade. Both of those clips available on the Facebook page as well as the Fox Across America website. I wouldn't want you to miss that as well. We're giving our producer a hard time. God love Mikey. But I opened the show today, and I was just basically talking, you know, about the fact that there is this real weird war on consensus, like a war on objective truth. Like right now, a good example is today is what? International Women's Day. And some people are celebrating it. Some companies are celebrating it by telling you there are no biological differences between men and women. Okay, Hershey's has a transgender man claiming to be a woman in celebration of International Women's Day.
Thank you for the education, gentlemen. We've just received a PhD in stupidity.
Just one of the dumbest things you've ever seen. But the point is, they'll mischaracterize biology. Oh, men can have periods. That's what they're telling us right now.
Not even close!
But we're looking at commercials for male menstruation. Here's a newsflash. Men can't have periods.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy.
I mean, think about that, you know, but they're telling, oh, men can have periods.
Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir.
That's Mr. Rogers, and he's not a transphobe. He's not a bigot. He was not trying to lead to a spike in suicides or hate crimes. He was just having an honest biological conversation with the American children at the year he recorded that little jingle. But do you understand the way political discourse works now? Is the left and the media will present a distortion of reality simply because by pushing back, it allows them to label you as somehow hateful or bigoted. You know, hey, let's take five-year-olds to a drag show. Okay, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, if someone came by the house and said, yeah, I want to take your kid to a drag show, okay, you might have punched them in the face. Like, seriously, at the very least, you would have slammed the door in their face, but you might have even hit them. You might have said, you don't come near my kid ever again. What are you, a psycho? But we're living in such a hyper-partisan time now that they're trying to sell this as normalcy. They're trying to sell this as some agreed-upon truth. And the people who push back, okay, are ultimately being, you know, called out as bigoted and hateful and violent and everything and intolerant and monsters and everything in between. And that's how they've gotten away with a war on objective truth. It's now normal to get in front of a room full of reporters, a microphone full of, you know, and speaking to a microphone facing, you know, dozens of TV cameras and just state absolute falsehoods with no regard for dignity or honesty or anything in between. And I bring this up because right now in this country, okay, it's March the 8th, 2023. We're a day away from our three-year anniversary. Look at that. Holy, nobody had that coming, but stick with me, okay? Right now in this country, we have had more fentanyl deaths in the past year than at any point in the history of our country.
Biden sucks.
Okay, understand that. There's enough fentanyl floating around this country right now to kill everybody here 10 times over. But knowing that to be the case, knowing we've broken every record for border crossings literally every month of the Biden administration, Karine Jean-Pierre was willing to get in front of a microphone yesterday. And when asked about the violence at the southern border, is the president technically okay with cartels and the fact that they kidnapped four Americans and killed two of them? I mean, we're not doing anything to stop it. And Karine Jean-Pierre not only said Biden's doing a phenomenal job, but went on to say with a straight face that fentanyl is at historic lows because of what Biden has done.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
No, the answer is no. We're living in the death of shame. There is a war on objective truth. They're willing to get out there and say this. Let me start with the Ducey Exchange. It's fascinating. It's clip six.
Cartels kill Americans on this side of the border with drugs, and now they're killing Americans on the other side of the border with guns. Why is President Biden so comfortable with cartels operating so close to the U.S.?
The president takes this very seriously. He takes this very seriously. The FBI and other agencies have been on top of this from day one. And so that's what he's going to continue to do. When it comes to Americans' lives and when it comes to the safety of Americans, the president's always going to make sure that that is a top priority.
Would President Biden ever consider using the U.S. military to disrupt cartel operations?
I'm just not going to get into the military and how it's being used.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Okay, but what is she telling you? The president takes this very seriously. Takes it very seriously. Really? Because we are at an all-time high in the history of our country of illegal border crossings. Border crossings made possible because he rescinded the very policies that were restricting them.
What the hell is wrong with you?
That should be the question. Okay, but understand, here's the bigger one. This is KJP saying fentanyl is at historic lows because of what Biden has done.
You're not telling me the truth.
Clip 7.
Because of the work that this president has done, because of what we've done specifically on fentanyl at the border, it's at historic lows, historic levels that we have been able to record a number of personnel working to secure the border because of what we've been able to do. Seizing that fentanyl, we've done it in a historic way. That's because of what this president has done.
You told some of the biggest lies that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
Okay, understand this. Okay, this is... I'm not talking to you as a political pundit. I don't care. Like, my party is America. My secondary party is Jenny and Lincoln and my family. Okay? I want the country to thrive. I want to go home and hang out with my family. That's what I do. That's how I'm wired. That's how I'm built. Okay? Everybody has their own thing. That's mine. Okay? Mine was different when I was younger. Holy hell! When I was in my 20s...
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women.
It's a different ballgame in my 20s, maybe even my early 30s. I might have had a little bit of a nightlife.
Hubba, hubba.
But I did grow up. Okay, I met a great woman. I got a fun kid. And I kind of think of the greater good now because I know it benefits them and myself and yourself and your family. Okay, so when I speak to you, I just speak to you as like an American teammate. I'm not here to influence the way you vote or the way you see the world. That's, you know, for your own thing. That's the point of America. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. We're all free-range chickens. Okay, but every single one of our chicken lives is endangered right now because there have been record levels of illegal drugs pouring across the border. When she says historic lows, she might be talking about the collective pulse rate of Americans because they're dropping dead, weighted down by the flatlining pulses of all of these Americans, the hundreds of thousands of Americans that have died under their watch. But you can't tell me it's a low when it comes to drugs. You can't tell me we're doing a good job in border security. We're so overwhelmed at the southern border that they're now trying to recruit at the northern border because the Mexican drug cartels are now taking advantage of our northern border because it's just as porous based on how thin our resources have been stressed down south. Here's Ted Cruz talking about what the Mexican president thinks of Joe Biden. It's clip 10.
The answer is not to invade Mexico. I don't think the answer is to just go to war with whatever country you're mad at. You know, you think about the answer is to stand up to them. When Donald Trump was president, AMLO, who's the same anti-American leftist then that he is now, was afraid of Donald Trump. AMLO agreed to the Remain in Mexico agreement. AMLO put soldiers on Mexico's southern border, and we ended up getting the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. The reason this is so bad is AMLO thinks that Joe Biden is a wimp.
He's not wrong, okay? They think Joe Biden is a wimp. I was talking to Larry Kudlow about this yesterday. And we had this whole talk after I got off the air here on the radio. I ran into Larry Kudlow in the hallways, and he was talking about how AMLO doesn't respect Biden because he realizes Biden is powered by this woke worldview of the people in his cabinet.
Everything woke turns to
the people that tell you we should be building bridges and not walls. Securing the southern border is racist. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the border is the front door of your house. Okay, and we all shut the front door of the house because you want to know who's coming in. You want to know who's going out. And it's not because you're racist. It's because you're looking out for your family and you want to keep tabs on the situation. The border is the front door of our house. Under this administration, it is open. Okay, and understand that the cost of it being open is a record level of fentanyl deaths in our country. It's a record level of women sexually assaulted at our southern border. It's a humanitarian crisis. And we're in this position because the Mexican president knows we have a ruling cabinet right now that doesn't want to upset the progressive wing of their party that says enforcing your border laws is racist. I gotta tell you, the craziest thing I've seen in all my time of being around politics and the levers of power, and I haven't been here very long. So last year I was in D.C. I've told the story on the air before. I was at a party for the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I get into all the big parties because I look like I'm a waiter. The way I'm dressed, my disposition, the fact that I'm not as good looking as the stars that are there, they're like, oh, this guy must be on the staff. And I get into all the parties. But anyway, I was sitting at a party last year where Don Lemon, that jackass from CNN, was, you know, in a cocktail area, and Homeland Secretary, you know, Secretary Mayorkas was literally waiting to meet Lemon, like, because Lemon, he was talking to a few people, and Mayorkas was waiting like a fangirl. Like, you ever see those videos of when the Beatles played Shea Stadium and they're singing Hard Day's Night, but you can't even hear it? It's been a hard, but all you hear is like, ah! That was Mayorkas waiting to meet Don Lemon, a guy who says that securing the border is racist, a guy who says that Trump's policies of wanting to secure the border are somehow just based in exclusionary bigotry. When, in fact, every single person in Washington knows we need border security. In fact, both political parties voted for a border wall, first under George W. Bush and then under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But understand, they were all in favor of securing the border until it became a political battle line. Well, what if we say securing the border is bad? What do you mean? We just voted to secure it. No, don't worry about that. They won't even remember. We'll just say it's bad. He's a racist. We'll move on with our lives. That's what they do. Okay, understand, we have this hearing going on the Hill today about the origins of COVID. Okay, and if you remember, everyone on Earth was calling it the Wuhan coronavirus. Every media outlet known to man. And then one day they got out of bed and they said, well, you know, it is an election year. What if we said it was racist to call it that and pointed out the fact that Trump's been calling it that? And they're like, but wait, what are you talking about? We've been calling it the Wuhan virus. Don't worry about it. Just call it racist. We're going to be fine. And they're like, are you crazy? And they're like, don't worry about it. They're stupid. People will forget. We'll move on with the story. And that's exactly what they did. But we don't forget. I have seen the media manipulate conversation and abandon their previous positions so many times that we save permanent audio on this show. Okay, just like I can point to the case history of both parties voting for border security under Bush and Obama. Here's everyone in the media who now tells you it's racist to point out the histories of the COVID virus doing exactly that in 2020.
The Wuhan coronavirus has now surpassed the 2003 SARS outbreak in the number of lives it's claimed.
They're under quarantine out of concern that passengers and crew were exposed to the Wuhan coronavirus.
And this breaking news just into CNN, the official death toll from the Wuhan coronavirus in China's Hubei province has now risen to 780.
Having to deal with it, the total number of deaths from the Wuhan coronavirus, it's now surpassed the SARS outbreak from 2003.
Spreading fast as the number of confirmed cases of the Wuhan virus continue to surge.
In a matter of days, Dr. Li Wenliang went from treating patients to becoming one. The 34-year-old ophthalmologist diagnosed Saturday with the Wuhan coronavirus.
We have new information about how the Wuhan coronavirus is spread.
Good to have you with us. So we start with the Wuhan coronavirus spreading across China.
And every one of those outlets who were calling it the Wuhan coronavirus turned around and was like, hey, Trump's racist. How dare he call it the Wuhan coronavirus? There's going to be a spike in hate crimes. You can't do that stuff.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Totally. But you understand this war on objective truth, this war on reality that we're embroiled in right now, it's so toxic for the country. And the people perpetuating it have no regard for the effect it has on society. Every single person who's telling you Trump belongs in jail for saying the 2020 election was stolen, all said the 2016 election was stolen. That has to matter. It has to. Okay, we don't have a country if it doesn't. And every one of these situations we find ourselves in now, we're getting rolled at our southern border. They're more concerned with the political cost than the human cost. So Karine Jean-Pierre goes out to the podium with a straight face and goes, ah, fentanyl's at a record low. No, that's not true. You understand? And the media might eat it up and try to help the administration along. But you know who knows they're lying? You know who sees the weakness? The Mexican president. The Mexican president who allows the cartels to exploit our border even further. The Mexican president who stands down as record levels of fentanyl kill record levels of Americans. Okay, the media. Okay, if you're on the left, I want you to know they're failing you by not holding the people in power accountable. You think it's good because they're helping you win elections. You know, they're helping balance out any negative coverage of the Democratic Party. But the stuff going on in our country, whether it's crime, whether it's inflation, whether it's drugs, none of it affects people depending how they vote. It affects them just based on their sheer proximity to it. If it's going on in this country, it's only a matter of time before it's going to catch up to you. Okay, and that's the problem right now. Our enemies, whether we're talking about China, whether we're talking about somebody like Mexico, it's not supposed to be an enemy, but there's certainly somebody taking advantage of us. They see the weakness in Washington. They look at our country right now as almost like, you know, like a joke because we're fighting the wrong battles. Every one of these countries that secures its border is watching our ruling party say it's racist to secure the border. Okay, and that's why we're in the condition we are, where record level of fentanyl is killing us, and the people in Washington are more concerned about the cost to their poll numbers. Everyone in the world sees it.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
Call and speak to Jimmy now.
I'm trying to use the phone!
888-788-9910. You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I am heading back across America in the month of April. I'll be at the Tower Theater in Bend, Oregon. That is Saturday night, Friday night, April the 7th. Saturday night, April the 8th, I'll be at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho. And then I will be back on the East Coast, the Bananas Comedy Club in New Jersey, April 21st and 22nd of 2023. A chance to come hang out with your radio buddy in person. It's a rad time, okay? I promote these shows a lot because you show up, you see who else is there, and you're like, wow, I'm actually a part of something, like, really unique in the world. Like, our crowd is outrageous. I get it. You've never heard of an event where you go to meet somebody that you might perceive as, like, TV famous or a celebrity, which I'm neither of those things. But the point is, people show up to my meet and greets and, like, heckle me. They give me a hard time. That doesn't go on anywhere else in media. That doesn't go on anywhere else in television. You know, if you show up to an event like a book signing of some person who takes themselves seriously and they're like, yeah, nice outfit, you dope. They're going to be like,
get him out of here. Get him out.
Not me, though.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There he is. Jimmy, back in action. Big hour. Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. We're also going to be talking to Katie Pavlich, Town Hall Senior Editor, Fox News contributor, a general in the Failla Family Fashion Army. Me and KP love to talk boots and wardrobe and everything in between. But we're going to be talking in this hour about the COVID lab leak theory, which I think has moved beyond a theory, the ineptitude at our southern border. And we'll probably catch up on all things 2024 because Ron DeSantis gave his state of the state yesterday. And
there's a slob. There's a real slob.
I don't doubt that things are getting chippy between Trump and DeSantis, but DeSantis focusing heavily on substance yesterday. And we're going to get into some of that because it's a wild one. It's very interesting to see what's going on as the 2024 race takes shape. And all of that's in play. And we're also going to have a grown-up talk about Joe Biden as well.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
We have an update on that claim. Do we ever? 888-788-9910. That is the phone number if you want to be a part of this show. And we say every day it is an all-skate. Remember when you're a little kid, you went to the roller rink? There's basically three things they do. They do just the boys, just the girls, then they'd have a couple skate. Just the boys, just the girls, couple skate. When those three things were done, you're like, all right, it's an all skate. Everybody on at once. Here we go. Come on. But But now everything is an all-skate. You can't itemize because there's just too many categories. It's like just the boys and just the people who identify as boys. Than just the cisgender, non-binary, hetero...
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but it gets complicated. So to make things easier, it's just an all skate. It's like sing-alongs. They used to do just the boys, just the girls. Now it's like just the theys, just the thems. It's just the two-spirit furry. You're like, good gosh, what's going on? So the point is, this show is an all skate. You don't need to agree. You don't need to believe what I'm telling you is good for the country. Your ideas can be your own. My ideas can be mine.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
Straight up. Say it every day. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Man, oh boy, oh man, just don't be a... That is all. Okay, as we get into this hour, I wanted to talk to you about DeSantis. DeSantis was on with Sean Hannity. I'm on with Sean Hannity tonight. Hey, girl, I'll be there 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're doing a show in front of a live studio audience. You can see me in action. I'm sure I'll find a nice flashy blazer from my overweight figure skater collection. I'm eating good now, by the way. I eat healthy, but my choices in my youth have really caught up to my 45-year-old metabolism.
I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
So silly. The late, great John Candy. But here's DeSantis on Hannity explaining how Florida is going after wokeness in education. And this is such a winning argument for him. And it's such a winning argument for any leader. Glenn Youngkin, to his credit, out in Virginia, did a little bit of this as well. But a lot of this nonsense is designed to indoctrinate children into a political ideology. It's not being done with inclusion in mind. It's not being done with equality or fairness in mind. Okay, Fairfax, Virginia, this week has a college prep class that's open to everyone. Everyone. Specifically, it declares that it's open to everyone except white students and Asian students.
That's not right.
No, what it is racist. It's actually racist.
That's true. That is true.
And what they're trying to say is, well, in the name of equity and inclusion and leveling the playing field, we're just going to racially discriminate against the races that we see scoring higher on these tests traditionally. Now, did these kids that are in eighth grade right now do anything wrong?
The answer would be no.
No. Is it fair to hold these kids back academically so the other kids can catch up?
The answer would be no.
But more importantly, in a world of a global economy, and that's what everybody in Washington is pushing, are any of the other countries that we're going to be competing against for jobs subjecting their students to the same type of academic racial discrimination?
The answer would be no.
So understand, a lot of this woke garbage, it's bad for the country. It's bad for the kids. It's bad for the meritocracy. It's bad for people's self-reliance. And it's certainly bad for the development of children when you're saying it's okay to start putting gender conflict into the lives of a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old. Okay, but that's exactly what's going on. Now, most self-respecting people who aren't so emotionally invested in the culture wars can admit when their side is taking a bad position for children. Okay, most Democrats agree with Ron DeSantis that we shouldn't be teaching sex ed or gender ideology to 5-year-old kids. Most parents do. It's over 80% of parents. Now, there are some out there that are so activist, that are so anti-Republican, that are so blinded by their own self-hate that they're distilling a lot of it towards other people in the name of possessing some type of a moral superiority or self-righteousness that they run on, will get out there with a straight face and be like, no, no, it's good. I'm taking my kid to a drag show this weekend. No, it's not good. Your kid shouldn't be anywhere near that. That's disgusting. I didn't say drag shows are disgusting. I didn't say harm the drag queen, say anything like that. I just said 5-year-old kids should be learning to add numbers before you teach them to subtract their genitalia.
I agree with that.
But here is DeSantis talking to Hannity about things they're doing in Florida. This is clip 11.
We're doing a couple things, Sean. One, just a recognition. You know, I can win a landslide election by 1.5 million votes, and yet the left can still try to impose its agenda through all these other avenues to society. So we recognize that threat. more than just what happens in the legislature. Obviously, you need to win those fights. So, for example, we've done things like ban critical race theory in our K through 12 schools, no gender ideology. Of course, we got in the tussle with Disney, but second graders shouldn't be told that they were born in the wrong body.
He's not wrong. Is there any world where a second grader should be told you're trapped in the wrong body? Really think about that. Anyone who's been lucky enough to raise a kid, as have I, its greatest privilege that will ever be bestowed upon you in this lifetime is the opportunity to raise a child, is the humbling moment when you're holding a newborn baby and you realize it is a brand new MacBook Air. You have taken this thing out of the packing peanuts. You have unwrapped it. And you are now responsible for all the content it downloads, all the websites it visits, how often it's maintenanced and cleaned and serviced and cared for, and that it's raised in the proper environment. These are all responsibilities placed upon you. But I don't look at them as responsibilities. You look at them as a privilege. You look at it as the most emotionally empowering thing you'll ever do, is raising a kid. There's nothing more rewarding. And any honest person who's ever done this understands that in those ages, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, your kid is evolving so rapidly. Do you understand when your brain is between the ages of 5 and 7, it's developing so quickly that they consider that the most optimal time to teach kids foreign languages. Kids under the age of 7 are capable of learning 5 foreign languages at once because their brain is evolving that quickly. They're processing information that quickly. They're in such a fluid state of development. Do you know when you were watching Star Wars as a kid and they go to like light speed and they show like those white laser lines in the solar system and then they just like... And now all of a sudden they're in like another dimension. Okay, that's a child's brain in those ages. It is so super capable. It is so evolutionary. It is so fluid. It is so filled with stages of development and shifting preferences. That if you stop that with puberty blockers and hormone inhibitors and you introduce a gender conflict, like I'm telling you because I care, because I've been around a kid, you are upending one of the most beautiful things ever gifted to us by our Creator, which is the development of a child. Okay, and it's really barbaric to do this, to introduce this element of not only are we going to upend their emotional and intellectual development, but we're actually going to physically impact that development in the name of a political ideology. I'm telling you, it's disgusting. And he's not wrong when he says, you know, the things being introduced in schools right now are bad. Do you know DeSantis was reading some of the banned books from school libraries moments ago and the media cut away from it because the books were too graphic? Like, that's going on, man. That's disgusting.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Here's a little more about why parents agree with him. It's clip 12.
We had a referendum on this on the election. I can tell you, parents across Florida, regardless of political party, agreed with us that we need to focus our education on the basics, teaching kids to read, write, teaching them to add, subtract, teaching about science and history. We don't need to be injecting concepts like gender ideology into the schools, particularly the young kids.
He's right. Okay, straight up. We don't need to be doing this. If you want to grow up, fine, great. No one is saying harm the trans people. No one's saying you're not welcome here. If you want to go do it, go do it. Okay, think of so many of the other issues facing us as a society right now. Okay, the Democrats want you to believe we should forgive student loans because kids at the age of 18 and 19 take out loans and then change their mind about the profession they want to pursue. Okay, don't always have use for the degree that they attained, and it's expensive and it's holding them back. So it's only right that we forgive that decision. Okay, now technically it's not forgiven because everybody still gets paid. The banks get paid, the colleges get paid. They just hand the bill to you and me.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
But the point is, yes, we have the physical capabilities of saying, fine, walk away from your loan. We don't have the physical capabilities of reversing the damage we do to a 5-year-old kid when we convince him he's trapped in a different body. okay, psychologically, physically, if you start, you know, getting surgeries involved and drugs involved and everything in between, like, it's flat barbaric. And one of the reasons Florida is roaring the way it is because he's standing, okay, and he's taking that stand for just basic decency, for just basic truth. And again and again, I'm not saying you can't be trans. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel welcome if you are. Go be it. But be it over the age of 18 when you're fully developed. There's a reason you can't get a tattoo. We had this talk yesterday. A woman was yelling at me on the Long Island Railroad about working for Fox News. Oh, you people with your anti-trans, she says to me. And I'm like, well, how old's your daughter? She's 10. Would you let her get a boob job? Well, no. Now you can't do that till you're 18. I wouldn't give her a boob job until she's done developing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you don't say. But you'd stop her development for this crazy ideology? And that's what you're dealing with. DeSantis is going to be called every name known to man, but right is might in this moment. Parents do agree with him. And they should agree with him, because anybody who's a parent that's truly invested in the development of their child, that has true gratitude for the privilege bestowed upon them, understands how fluid these kids are in their development and realizes that if we're encouraging them to pursue some alternative lifestyle when they haven't fully developed and grown into the one that they were born into is absolutely, positively barbaric.
He knows what he's talking about.
It's America's number one radio lunch date.
Get your hands out of my fries.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Buy your own damn fries.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Something I wanted to introduce to the record. Katie Pavlich is coming up. Jamie Dimon was on with Bloomberg News yesterday. He's talking about the climate, the business climate specifically, as a time when a lot of people believe that the Fed is strategically trying to increase the unemployment rate in an effort to slow down the economy. Okay, Jamie Dimon was talking about free enterprise and how Florida specifically has a, you know, to put it in song terms, you know, when it comes to inviting and attracting new business, Florida is like, you know, the Journey song, Open Arms. And that's, you know, he was kind of praising him for that, and I thought it was worth pointing out. Here is Jamie Dimon. It's clip 31.
If you were running the state, you know, you should be thinking, how can I make this state off good, well off my people? So Florida likes business. They want you to come. You know, you come to Florida, you see the opt-in. Texas is the same way. You know, if I was some other states, I'd be thinking about, why do people like going to these states? It's their taxes. It's their pro-business. They want better life for their people. It's not necessary some of the policies we talk about. So, you know, we now have more employees in Texas than in New York State. You know, it should have been that way, but Texas loves to be there. And when you go there, they're optimistic. They're optimistic here. Pro-American, optimistic, pro-business. No. Unfortunately, no.
And what is he saying? Yeah. Texas, my people, listening on KTBB, they like business. No question, as does Florida. Get the hell out of the way. And this administration at every turn has gotten in the way, whether you're talking about too much regulation and environmental stuff, you know, like killing the Keystone Energy Pipeline, or you even talk about the vaccine mandate and how that crippled small businesses. You even talk about enhanced unemployment benefits and how that crippled small businesses. We paid able-bodied people to stay home. Do you know what an insult that is to the people who can't provide for themselves? We're supposed to help those who can't help themselves. That's the social safety net we're supposed to be paying into. But under this administration, we have increased the Medicare rolls for able-bodied people. People who should be getting off their ass and going to work are now being told to stay home, and here's a check from the government. But you understand that not only erodes their self-reliance and self-determination, but it comes at the expense of all the other taxpayers.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
So the story of 2024 is it's starting to take shape. We're going to talk about this a little more in the next break before Katie Pavlich joins us. is that what DeSantis is doing right now, he's getting in the race. Like everybody who knows him, everybody who knows everything, he's getting in the race. Probably going to get in the race in June or July. Okay, he has a supermajority in his state legislature right now, which means everything he wants to do to transform Florida is going to get done during this next legislative session. So what he essentially wants to do is launch his presidential campaign on the back of all of these major legislative achievements for the people of Florida. And he wants his pitch to be Make America Florida Again. Less government, less mandates, less woke curriculum, okay, lower taxes, big support for the men and women in uniform. I mean, what he wants to do is make America exactly what it desperately needs to be in this moment. Okay, and if the race is a disciplined race where we're focused on what America needs to be. Okay, like we said, low tax, low crime, support for the men and women in uniform, no more identity politics, no more critical race theory. If these are the tenets we embrace and that's what we run this election on, Republicans are going to win. Okay, but if the election comes down to whether or not you believe 2020 was stolen, you know, things Trump happens to be mad about. I'm not telling you Trump can't win. I'm not even telling you Trump's the wrong guy. I'm just telling you Trump is going to have to get a lot better at his emotional and verbal discipline, because the things Trump world prioritizes, like writing 2020, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the middle of the country that you need to win over to your side. But you know what matters to the middle of the country? Low crime, low taxes, education, looking out for our kids, supporting the cops. And I'm not saying Trump doesn't do those things. I'm just saying his message sometimes overwhelms those things. And that's where DeSantis is probably in the lead, if you're being honest. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla talking about the 2024 election right now. Joe Biden has been out on the telly, your president. Everybody who says, yeah, the first female president. Jill Biden is the first female president. Who do you think's running this thing right now?
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
But this is so laughable. So Jill Biden was on with CNN, okay? And she was trying to make the point that we shouldn't be questioning Joe Biden's cognitive state, because just look at his energy level. And the claim she makes for the things he can do, it's like so laughable. Listen to this really quick. It's clip 15.
I say, look at what he's done. You know, look at what he's doing. Look at how physically he's got the good bill of health from the doctors through his physicals. But how many 30-year-olds could travel to Poland, get on the train, go 9 more hours, go to Ukraine, meet with President Zelensky.
Good morning, Mr. President.
His energy level, his level of passion. So look at the man, look what he's doing, look what he continues to do each and every day, and make your decision. It's up to the American people.
You gotta do better than that.
How many 30-year-olds can fly on a plane to Ukraine and then sit on a train from there? All of them? The example she's giving you is absurd. Look how physically, I mean, come on. How many 30-year-olds could travel to Poland by plane? You know, a plane that has a bed on it and a living room and a TV set. How many 30-year-olds could sit on that plane all the way to Poland, then get off and take a second nap on a train? Oh, actually, every single one of them.
I think he's got a point.
Whenever they're giving you, like, a weird mischaracterization, like something that doesn't square with logic or honesty, that's when my little weirdo antenna goes up. Like I said, most of what I'm offering you is intuition, okay? I'm a former cab driver. I don't have a degree in political science. I don't claim to be of some superior intellect. My superpower is that I don't have one. I am a regular guy. It's one of the reasons I get on the air every day. And I say I'm not an activist. I just want to share my opinions and let you do what you want with them. I don't want to be in charge of our democracy because I'm a mess. But I can just tell you based on the life experience that I've garnered from driving a taxi and being around the halls of power in this country and elite media and everything in between, that most of what I do is just based on instinct and human nature and things jumping out at me is like, well, wait a minute. You know, there's a great scene in Glengarry Glen Ross when the guy comes to Al Pacino's character and he wants the money back. He wants Al Pacino to cancel the check he's written to purchase the Rio Rancho land down in Florida. That's the gig. That's the sketch, okay, in this particular scene. And he says, well, I've got 3 days to cancel the check. And Pacino's character says, okay, so give us till Monday. And he goes, but that would be 4 days. And Pacino's like, no, no, you don't count Saturday. He's like, no, no, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It would be more than, no, no, but you don't count. Don't worry about it. And he's like, wait a minute. Why is this guy repeatedly, like, confidently making this claim that doesn't square with logic unless, oh, yeah, he happens to be full of it. Okay, that's what's going on.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
And that's the Jill Biden thing. She makes this confidently, oh, how many 30-year-olds could get on a plane and take a nap all the way to a train and then take that nap? Every single one of them.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
It's a confidence game. Okay, and it brings me to this Hillary Clinton thing. Hillary Clinton spoke, the Forbes 30-50 summit's going on right now. And Hillary, again, still trying to ingratiate herself to the party elites because she wants to be the president. She wants to run. Okay, she wants Biden to get kicked to the side, and she wants to present herself as a last-ditch savior. I can still raise money. I have the name recognition. We need something progressive like a female president. I'm pumped up and ready to go.
I don't feel no ways tired,
as she says when she speaks in her black accent. But here she is talking about climate change and how women and children are most affected by it. Wait, what? Based on what? This is classic You Don't Count Saturday. Here it is, clip 20.
Women and children are the primary victims of conflict and of climate change. And there is no place that unfortunately, tragically shows us that more dramatically than Ukraine today. But there are a lot of other conflicts, a lot of other challenges that we have to take into account as we look at gender apartheid in Afghanistan, the persecution and oppression of girls and women exercising their freedom of choice in Iran and so many other places.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Okay. Women and children are the victims of climate change and war and blah, blah.
Shut up, fool!
Okay, understand, if she was worried about women and children, she'd be talking to you about the southern border, where 30% of the women who cross our border illegally are sexually assaulted. Okay, we've had a few million women, 2 million, cross this border illegally under Biden, which means based on that average alone, you've had 600,000 sexual assaults. Is Hillary talking about those women and children?
The answer would be no.
Why? Why is she not talking about it? She doesn't care about the women and children. It's the political agenda. And she wants the party elites to embrace her. So she'll say things like women and children and climate change because that's the number one fundraiser for the Democratic Party.
Please give us money.
Okay. But when it comes to those women and children who need money, those women and children being assaulted by the cartel, you ain't getting a word out of good old Hillary Clinton.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
Common sense from a not-so-sensible man.
It's the compassion. It's the dignity. It's the wisdom. It's the horse sense of the guy that gets you.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And if you were following social media last week, you heard that Kennedy and I are going to Mesa, Arizona on June the 10th. People are excited, as you'd imagine. But lest any of you were getting the idea of pulling a Will Smith and storming the stage, this next guest will shoot all of you. She's security for the gig. I mean, she hasn't committed to that, but I'm committing her right here in the air. We are talking about Fox News contributor, multimedia, matinee, idol, sensation, general in the Failla family fashion mafia, Katie Pavlich, back on the show. Hey, girl.
Hey, you're taking the fashion mafia on the road.
It's a thing.
I'm very excited for you.
It's a big deal, man. The Laughs and Liberty Tour, and as you know, Liberty is my stage name. But no, it's going to be a good one. We're pumped up to get out there. How are Kennedy and I going to do in Mesa? Is that like a pro Kennedy and I crowd, or are we the away team?
I think there, you know, any crowd that you go in front of is a pro Kennedy and Jimmy crowd. It may be, you know, there may be some Mormons who show up, so just, you know, maybe watch your mouth a little bit. And but otherwise, I think you're going to have a great time. Arizona's a good crowd. You can wear your cowboy boots.
Yeah,
they'll be happy to see you.
That is way up my alley. Because I got to tell you, it's funny. I was in Seattle last weekend, and for all the shots we take at Seattle, you wouldn't think it would be my demo, but the crowd was, like, actually amazing. I think honestly what happened was, like, they were so shocked I'd want to go as a Fox guy. They're like, well, this guy's clearly crazy. We should cheer him on. But it was amazing. So it got me excited for Mesa, Arizona. And the fact that
don't judge those places before you get there. You know, there's always some people who are there who need a good laugh.
That's true. It is true. Like, and it's a funny thing. Like, if your society is deteriorating around you, comedy becomes like a coping mechanism. That's what I always find in, like, California. I was in Sacramento just the same. They were, like, the greatest crowd ever because it's like the world's on fire. And so you can either freak out or you can roast marshmallows. And I think we're catering to the people who roast the marshmallows, KP.
Yeah, I think so. I like roasting marshmallows. So, I think that's a good idea. Might be too hot in June to do that, though.
Unlike you, I have been told by wardrobe to lay off the marshmallows. They're like, look,
well,
dude.
You know, you just got to make sure you drink your water. You know, we're only passing out in Arizona. It's very hot and dry. A couple rules you got to make sure that you follow. Watch out for the rattlesnakes. They'll get you. Take out your boots. Watch for the scorpions. Other than that, you're good to go. Just drink a lot of water and don't hug the cactus, whatever you do. It's not a good look.
So much more than a radio guest. She's also a life coach, Katie Pavlich, joining us on the line. Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to work big here. Should I be touring with Karine Jean-Pierre, given that she had a pretty good comedic take on fentanyl being down under Biden?
Yeah. What was she talking about yesterday?
I don't know.
Fentanyl is at a historic low.
I know.
No, it's not. It's actually 110,000 Americans died last year. It's a new record from the drug. You have the DEA. Head of the DEA recently saying that the Mexican cartels are purposely killing Americans with this drug. Merrick Garland said the same thing, the attorney general at DOJ, that they're sending it in record rates and they can't control it because it's a synthetic. So they can basically just make more of it rather than having to grow it like they would, you know, heroin or cocaine or marijuana. So I don't know what she was trying to say. I think, first of all, whenever Peter Ducey asks her questions, she gets an attitude. So she starts to kind of lose her.
Yep.
Her shtick there, and then she makes a mistake by trying to act smarter than him, right?
So
she kind of tries to insult him, and then she makes a mistake instead of just answering the question like a professional. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing she did. Second thing is people are saying maybe she misspoke and thought that, you know, she was trying to say historic number of confiscations of the drug. Mm-hmm. Now, that just equates to historic levels of drugs.
Yeah, I know.
Coming across. That's not actually a great talking boy.
No, it's scary stuff. We're talking to Katie Pavlich. But you know what's weird is I watch this. You know, there are moments when somebody like her is cornered and she does what you alluded to earlier, which is she'll get a little more arrogant and almost like retreat to her base. And I bring that up because of Fauci. Like, you remember when Fauci was getting into these epic standoffs with Rand Paul, if Fauci was cornered on the facts or something like gain-of-function research or the COVID lab leak theory, he would go on offense. And he'd be like, Rand, Senator Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea. And that's a soundbite for the people on his side who want the confirmation bias to be like, look at these bad Republicans. But I don't think if you're watching any of the COVID origin hearings today, you come away from this feeling like Fauci was ever dealing with us in good faith.
No, definitely not. The science was actually quite dishonest and non-transparent and, in fact, vindictive towards his fellow scientists.
Yeah.
He was actively working to shun and ruin the careers of anyone who dared to mention the lab leak theory because he was complicit in the lab leak theory. And you have the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, testifying today, and he from the beginning has thought this could be a lab leak, saying that he was cut out of meetings.
Yep.
During his position at the CDC by Fauci and by Francis Collins, because they were working together to try and, you know, write this fake paper that they had published about it not being the lab leak theory and it being a natural occurrence, you know, threatening to cut off the funding to other scientists, you know, Dr. Fauci was known as the gain of function godfather.
Yep.
And now he's been trying to run away from that, as we're starting to confirm over and over again what we've already known, and that is this came from a lab. It was engineered with gain of function research, which I call Frankensteining, because that's what it is. They create something that gets out of control and then it kills everybody. And that's exactly what happened. But unfortunately, given the way that Fauci's, nice cushion of a job was, and the way he will go off and collect his pension in the future, I doubt there will be any accountability for him.
No, he's going to move some books. I do predict, I've been saying this forever, that he'll probably go on Dancing with the Stars because he likes TV. Didn't you?
Yeah, that's true.
As someone who does TV, this is just, we're just recklessly speculating here. But I hatched a theory like a year and a half ago that Fauci got addicted to hair and makeup. Specifically, because you know what I'm talking about. You get your hair done, you get makeup done. It's special. There's people working on you. You're talking, you're gossiping. And I think he come to realize he's not going to keep getting hair and makeup if he doesn't get on TV and do whatever the hell they needed him to do. Do you think on some small scale he's just human, and for all the terrible things we think he's done, which are true, he's also just a guy addicted to hair and makeup?
I mean, who doesn't become an arrogant, I am the science type of person when you get your own bobblehead sent to you in the mail or your own saint candle with your face on it that people are literally using in blue neighborhoods across the country and praying to at nighttime while they wear their five different masks that are suffocating the oxygen to their brain. And also there are all of these magazine covers. I mean, who could not want to continue to grace the cover of all these magazines? I mean, come on.
Fauci was like a societal crowd surfer. He was surfing, like, you're right, he was surfing a big wave on the left and in the media. And
well, he's a god now.
Yeah.
It's not just science. He's a god. People pray to him. It's really quite incredible.
Like, seriously, like, if you said something to your friends, you know what I mean? Like, I am the science. You would get mocked for that for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? But he said it with a straight face. And there are a lot of people like, yeah, he's the science. But the science really did screw us. They screwed us at every turn. And here's another example of this. Down in Florida, there's a tennis player, Novak Djokovic, who can't go to Florida because he's not vaccinated. Tennis is outdoors, number one. Number two, I mean, I know we've both said this a billion times, but if the guy on the other side of the net is vaccinated, shouldn't he technically not have to care if Djokovic is vaccinated?
It's just absolutely absurd. I mean, Joe Biden is ending this stupid COVID emergency in May, where foreigners have to be vaccinated against this disease when we know the vaccine is pretty crap and doesn't protect against infection. And yet they're denying the number one tennis player in the world from entering the country while they let millions of people walk across the border. Mm-hmm. I think Governor Ron DeSantis wrote a letter to Biden saying, you know, and this will probably just make Biden, you know, dig his heels in for the sake of shivving DeSantis. But so unfortunately, Djokovic is going to be the one who gets that the blowback on that. But it's ridiculous. It's just all about these arrogant zealots who can't just admit that they are wrong and make an exception. It really is. COVID really showed us so much about human behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of terrifying what they're willing to, you know, die on a hill for.
Yes.
You know, like, you won't let the guy in? Really? No. That's what we're going to do here? We're not going to budge on that? What else aren't you going to budge on?
I mean, if we were going to really get technical, I mean, Florida hosts spring break. And to be, fair, COVID is not a top 25 thing you could catch at spring break.
Definitely not. That's the least of your worries.
Yo, you come home from spring break with COVID, you're thankful. You're like, oh,
yeah,
dude.
You're grateful.
Like, whew, I thought that was going to be worse. Last thing before I let you go, because you know you have no bigger supporter or ally in the media anywhere. I did want to salute you because you won Sink or Swim against Pete Hegseth on Jesse Waters' show.
Thank you very much.
Now, I bring this up because I need to know what your record is. Do you have an overall record on that show? You 1-0, you 2-3?
It was my first time.
Oh, so you're undefeated. All right, so listen.
Yeah, I'm undefeated, but I was a pretty stellar champion on Tucker Carlson's former news show, News Quiz.
So now we're
Until Shannon Bream, the queen, beat me, but I was on like a streak of like 10 in a row. So
well, listen, I lost to Dana on Tucker's show, but I was also told by the higher-ups that if I beat her, I'd never work in television again. So You gotta factor that into your net. It was an exercise in self-preservation. They were like, Jimmy, what state were you born in? I'm like, I don't know. Huh, Perino wins. So crazy. Might
What's
have thrown
your favorite color?
Yep. I'm not sure. Katie Pavlich, our favorite guest. Thanks for this. Have a big weekend, pal.
Great to see you, or hear you, Jimmy. Talk to you soon.
See ya. There she goes. The great Katie Pavlich, undefeated on Sink or Swim. I didn't want to steal her thunder, but I'm 2-0. I've never lost on Sink or Swim. I have won Tucker's game. I have won Kennedy's game. But my overall record in all of these contests is really like 3 wins and like 10 losses. But they don't need to know that. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the champ. So we will continue to defend the title in the next hour.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Is it ever? And we are coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting, as we always do, from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, lacing them up for a track meet on Fox Across America. And I know you don't think of track when you think of a guy in my physique. I mean, seriously, you're not looking out at me and thinking track star.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
But we are going for the gold in this hour with Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the 3rd Congressional District, who's going to weigh in on all things America. If it's going on out there in the country, we're talking about it here. But we are going to zero in on her home state in this hour. Why? Because the Biden administration is banning Novak Djokovic from coming into Florida for a tennis tournament because he's not vaccinated.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Bizarre. So Biden has announced that he would end the COVID emergency in May, which is absurd because it's, you know, it's a virus. It doesn't give you like an ETA, like it's following a navigation system to get here. Well, I'm on the Waze app. It says the end of the virus will be May 10th. It's not how viruses work. Okay. Never mind that COVID, not something I'm telling you is fake or something you shouldn't take seriously. But the point is it poses zero threat at an outdoor tennis tournament, number one. Number two, we now know through the targeted data we have on COVID that it primarily affects two groups of people, elderly Americans with underlying health complications and morbidly obese people, people that are like me. They're eating so much that their employer has to pay somebody to knock the food out of their hands.
Put that cookie down now!
Okay, knowing that to be the case, the idea that an actual superior world-class athlete, the best tennis player in the world, maybe, okay, isn't allowed to come play tennis at an outdoor event defies any logic, defies any science, okay, defies any law of fairness or standard of fairness you could possibly consider under the circumstances. So what Ron DeSantis did yesterday, which I found very funny, is he sent a letter to Joe Biden urging him to let Djokovic play in the Miami Open and asking if it would be okay for Djokovic to come into the country by boat, seeing as Biden doesn't enforce any of these COVID policies for any of the people coming here illegally.
Biden is such a disaster.
Think about this, okay? In the only thing keeping no, here's a little bit of the letter. The only thing keeping Novak Djokovic from participating in the Miami Open tennis tournament is President Biden's misguided and unscientific COVID-19 vaccination requirement for foreign travelers. This is what DeSantis tweeted along with a copy of his letter. In the letter, he referenced an October 2021 proclamation by Biden that banned non-U.S. citizens from traveling to America. They couldn't come by air without proof of being fully vaccinated against COVID-19. So the issue here is if Djokovic, if you're flying to America by plane, you have to have proof of vaccination. Okay, if you're walking into America on foot, do you need any vaccination requirements at all?
The answer would be no.
And when there's a double standard, there's no standard. Okay, the virus doesn't know the difference between walking here, flying here, boating here, you know, coming in on the jetpack. The virus wouldn't know the difference. Djokovic applied for a waiver. The Department of Homeland Security rejected the waiver request. Would have allowed him, you know, he's a Serbian native, to enter the U.S. without being vaccinated. And here it is. This is so crazy. Okay, DeSantis noted this in his letter. Since the onset of COVID-19, Mr. Djokovic has visited the United States twice, including once during your presidency, without any apparent health incident, DeSantis wrote, adding, it is also not clear to me why, even by the terms of your own proclamation, Mr. Djokovic could not legally enter this country via boat. Please confirm no later than Friday, March 10th, that this method of travel into Florida would be permissible. And essentially, what is he doing? He's picking a fight with Biden along very basic common sense lines. Okay, there's nobody in their right mind who's been paying any attention whatsoever thinks the vaccine is stopping anyone from getting COVID. I mean, let's just start there. Vaccinated people are getting COVID as much and in some instances more often than unvaccinated people. Never mind that they finally got around to admitting that natural immunity qualifies for inoculation against the virus, a science that we were denying up until a few weeks ago. There's a revisionist history going on with COVID now. The New York Times published a study admitting that masks don't work. Okay, we're now openly admitting that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission of the virus. In fact, the month of August, which is the most recent month of data we had available to us, showed that the majority of people who died from COVID that month all happened to be vaccinated, which means the vaccine, I don't know, maybe it offers you a layer of protection. I'm not even quite sure. Okay, but the idea that in an outdoor stadium, an athlete can't compete against other elite athletes, the least susceptible people to this virus among us, it's absurd to think they wouldn't waive this sort of thing. But you see what's happened here, not only to Djokovic, okay, and other, you know, potential visitors who might come here, is that they've gotten caught up in a culture war issue. The vaccine mandate, just so you understand, was a culture war issue engineered by the Biden administration. Just like COVID was engineered in a Wuhan lab, okay, the vaccine mandate was engineered by the Biden administration. And what I mean by this, and if you've been with this show for a while, first of all, thank you. This really means a lot to me because, good gosh, when you get into the ring with as little as I'm bringing intellectually, I need all the help I can get over here.
I think he's got a point.
No, really. But stick with me. Okay, the way the vaccine mandate came about, just so we're clear, is literally weeks before the mandate was passed down, the entire Biden administration was saying they'd never be mandatory. So let's just start there. Are you ready? Here we go.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. But
perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates? And if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government. That is the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need to take.
I don't think you'll ever see a mandating of vaccine, particularly for the general public.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Nah, you'll never see a mandate of the vaccine. Fauci went on to say no more. He said it more than once.
Another question from another student. Would you support a nationwide mandate of the COVID vaccine once it comes out?
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that. We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Huh, you don't say.
He should be behind bars.
Isn't that weird? So how did we go from you don't want to do that? We've never done that. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not legal. To overnight, they were like, mandate. Mandate or you're fired. Mandate or you're banned from the country. Mandate or you can't go out to dinner. Can't go to the store. Can't get a job. Mandate. How did we go from no mandate to absolute maximum strength mandate? And the truth is, and this is the truth.
This is politics as usual.
Politics. Okay, the vaccine mandate was not done with science in mind. The vaccine wasn't purely done with science in mind. When the head of Pfizer International testifies before the European Parliament that they never even tested this vaccine to see if it stops transmission, understand that, yeah, maybe it was out there to lessen symptoms, but you know what it was primarily there to do? Get people paid.
Money, 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 money.
As far as the pharmaceutical industry is concerned, mama needs new shoes. Come on, girl. Come on down, get that mandate, girl. And they made that money. But as far as the government was concerned, as far as Biden and Fauci and everybody else you heard in that montage saying they wouldn't mandate a vaccine, they actually needed a culture war, okay, in a post-Afghan troop withdrawal. Understand that in the month of August 2021, Joe Biden was polling 13 points into the positive. But then the Afghan troop withdrawal happened. You know, that moment where he decided to take the troops out ahead of the civilians?
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Is it ever? And they got on TV and they said, don't worry. The Afghan army's not going to collapse. It's a fierce fighting force. Going to be fine.
Come on. Don't bullshit me.
It collapsed within days of him saying that. And at the very moment Joe Biden was on TV assuring us it wouldn't collapse, the president of Afghanistan had rounded up all the money he could get, hopped on a boat, and left the country because that's how certain he was it was going to collapse. But after watching the country collapse, after watching American service members get killed, after watching people clinging to the wheels of cargo jets, babies tossed over barbed wire fences, okay, Biden realized they were in a really bad spot politically. He went on TV, tried to sell it to the American people as an actual success is what he did in that moment.
What an idiot.
No, it's successful. You don't understand. It's the best, most successful airlift in the history of the country. Okay, and it so compromised him politically because he looked like an idiot. And so what they did in that moment, knowing that their base, knowing that the politics are the only thing that matter, is they created a culture war issue. We went from, hey, we've got this vaccine that none of us trusted on the campaign trail, to, hey, you've all got to take it or you're going to get people killed. That was the pivot. Understand, it started out under Trump when this vaccine was developed with them saying it was garbage.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
Ooh. If and when the vaccine comes, it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
Wow. Does that sound like two people who think the federal government should be forcing that very vaccine on everybody else? Think about that. He's flat out telling you it's not likely to go through all the proper trials. When we finally get the vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Okay, understand the vaccine he's talking about is the one he's forcing on people, is the one he's saying Novak Djokovic has to have in order to be in this country. And they went from who the hell's going to take this thing to shame on anybody who won't take it.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
But do you see how quickly those people who went from Trump's making this vaccine, it's garbage, who's going to take it? Do you understand if Trump won the election, 70% of the country would be unvaccinated right now because the Democrats wouldn't have taken it. They would have been like, no way, this didn't go through the proper trials. This is a Trump vaccine. They certainly wouldn't have wanted to give him credit for the win. And they would have all abstained from taking it and never would have been mandated on you and me. But because they needed to rally the base, they needed a culture war issue in a post-Afghan world where the troop withdrawal had cratered Joe Biden's approval rating, he pivoted from who the hell's going to take this thing to everybody better take this thing. Why? Because he knows his base runs on self-righteousness. We know better than these dopey MAGA Midwesterners, the flyover states, these idiots, they're eating horse paste. That's what they said about ivermectin. Something that was given a Nobel Peace Prize in 2015 for treating humans for malaria. But that's what this has always been about. The COVID response was about how you could tarnish Republicans, how you could sell moral superiority and self-righteousness to self-hating white people who need to hate the middle of the country so they don't have to look inward at the things they hate about themselves. So do you understand, at a time when we know vaccinated people are getting COVID just as much as the unvaccinated, in a lot of instances more, when we know that vaccinated people are dying from COVID just as much as the unvaccinated, in a lot of instances more, we know there cannot possibly be any science behind Novak Djokovic being banned from the state of Florida other than the political science, which is exactly why we are where we are.
Let Joe tell you how it will be. He'll fire you so easily. 'Cause Joe's the Vax Man. Yeah, he's the Vax Man. He's vaccinating one and all. From young adults and kids real small. 'Cause Joe's the Vax Man. Yeah, he's the Vax Man. If you drive a truck,
he'll vax your seeds.
If you own a farm,
he'll vax your weeds.
If you're serving food,
he'll vax your eats.
If you're anti-vax man,
won't let you choose.
Vax Man.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla doing the damn thing on the radio. I'll be on the TV tonight with Sean Hannity at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Hannity. Tomorrow, if you're waking up early, I am on Fox and Friends First at 5:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 6 hours later, I will be on the Faulkner Focus at 11:30 in the morning. And then on 9 o'clock tomorrow night, I will be on the Sean Hannity Show yet again. I love the people, though, who reach out to me. And they're always like, yo, bro, when do you sleep? I watched you at 5 a.m. Then I watched you at 11 a.m. Then I watched you 9:30 at night. And I'm like, yo, bro, when do you sleep?
I think he's got a point.
Because I get plenty of sleep. When I'm driving home, I get some of the best sleep in the world when I'm behind the wheel. True story dating back to my 20s. I have wrecked my car twice when I was asleep. So be very careful about, like, you know, dozed off driving and, you know, tired driving and fatigue driving and everything like that. It's something I've done twice as a driver in my 20s, oddly enough. Not in my 30s or my 40s, which is crazy because I'm certainly not in better shape now than I was then. But it's one of the reasons we do the peppy show that we do. I always say we're like Radio Rumble strips. There's a lot of talk shows out there that are boring, that just, you know, political bile distilleries. They just want you to get upset, get you mad, and they drone on. Yeah, you know, you start dozing off. Next thing you know, you're slapping your face, your fish hook in your mouth. When Lincoln and I flew into Sacramento, when we were in Reno last, we were at the Carson Nugget, which is still one of my favorite places in the history of the world to do comedy. And great, just the best crowds. But me and Lincoln and I flew into Sacramento because we needed a nonstop flight. And we went out to Mel's Diner because Mel's Diner is our favorite thing on the West Coast. We love a good Mel's. If you're in California, you know Mel's well. So Lincoln and I flew in. We got into Sacramento at 1:30 in the morning and went right to Mel's for a 2 a.m. victory meal. But then there was the small matter of us having to drive across California to Reno like 2 hours at 3:30 in the morning.
That can't be good.
Well, we bulldogged it right across the state, blasting music, laughing it up, having a good time. And then by the time we got to Reno, I actually got like really, really tired and brought me back to where I was in my 20s, which was like getting some of the best sleep of my life behind the wheel of a taxi with people in the back like, hey, wake up. What are you doing? So the point is, we continue on this show with that in mind. Everybody listening, stay tuned because we are your Radio Rumble strips. We will keep you wide awake with a little help from Kat Kamick from the state of Florida after this. There it is, Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. So excited to talk to this next guest. I'm going to try not to get emotional. Hold it together, Jimbo. She's a superstar representative from the 3rd Congressional District of Florida, but she is, of course, number one in our hearts. I am talking about Representative Kat Kamick. Hey, girl!
Hey.
There you are. so nice.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yep.
Okay, there we go.
Kat, now I can hear you.
Kat Kamick joining us from the trunk of a car.
Don't be telling my secrets, Jimmy.
Let me throw this at you. You don't know this, but 2 hours south of your district, by my math, I'm going to be in Clearwater on May the 20th. Ooh. Kennedy and I are doing a stand-up show at the Capitol Theater down in Clearwater. Is that fair to say it's 2 hours south of your district about, right? Like Gainesville to Tampa, would you not say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Ocala, which is even further south. So.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, hey. So basically an hour and a half away is where you will be.
At 2 hours, I was going to let you get out of going. At an hour and a half, you're dead to me if you don't show up.
When is this? When is this?
Saturday night, May the 20th, Kamick. Saturday night, May 20th. And I'm not obligating you, but Jim Jordan is going to my show in July in St. Mary's in Ohio.
This is the game we're playing. I see.
Not that I'm putting pressure on you based on other members who've been in Congress longer. Just stick with me. Let's have a conversation. But how you been? Everything's good?
Everything's going well. Well, how are you?
Better now. You know, you're always good for morale. But there's something I wanted to throw at you because it's going on in your home state and it has to do with tennis. And I'm not a big tennis guy, but I think it's kind of ridiculous that Novak Djokovic can't fly into Florida to play tennis outdoors because he's not vaccinated. What's going on?
Honestly, my recommendation, and I'm really seriously thinking about putting this out on social media, but now it's going to be out to the world. He should just cross the southern border, because if you come across if you come through at any point in the southwest border, you have a voluntary vaccination. they don't even say anything. And they're like, "Oh, you vaccinated?" You say no. And they're like, "Do you want one?" You say no. They're like, "Okay, come on in. It's fine."
So you're telling me Djokovic should bring a child that may or may not be his and declare that he wants some type of asylum. And go win this tournament. No, I respect it.
Absolutely.
It would work.
It would. I'm telling you, there's something here, Jimmy.
But there's a
something
thing.
Here.
Okay. Listen, no one has ever copied off me on a science test. I don't know where you ranked in your class, but I don't mean to compete, okay? We've all got our fair share of summer school stories on this show, but stick with me. There's no
science. You were the guy, Jimmy, who put the answers on the inside of the water bottle. And then put the label back on, and then you would tip your bottle just so you could magnify the micro writing, right?
Representative Kamick, I got to tell you, for someone who never cheated on a test, that's some pretty specific analysis right there.
Listen, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
You're like, you were the guy that would make sure the barometric pressure in the classroom was below 42 degrees and bang on a if the letter was B, hit the garbage can. I'm like, what's going on? It's very insightful here. Woo! Good to know. No, I was old school. I actually got decent grades till high school, and then I was like a little bit of a wild child, but it all leveled out. I'm not complaining. I'm happy for the path I have chosen, but I'm just trying to make the point that even though, you know, I would have graduated last in my class if I was homeschooled, you know, but the point is, even I know there's no science to what's going on. So it does seem like Djokovic is kind of the victim of a political culture war, because that's all the vaccine mandate was.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to make a point and they're holding on to any last shred of credibility that they have. But I mean, what is so wild to me is that this week we'll be voting on declassifying origins of COVID. You know, all of these emails are coming out where even Fauci is saying, you know, begrudgingly, you know, the efficacy of these vaccines is not what we've been telling people. I mean, it is ridiculous. The emergency declaration has been extended for one reason and one reason only, and that is money. Mm-hmm. It's because there's $500 billion that Biden is trying to get out the door in obligated funds, COVID relief funds, I'm using air quotes now, that is designed to go to blue areas, blue states, because they know that in 24, they're going to need to do everything they can to buy the election.
God,
that is all this is. This is not based on anything but the money and votes.
Wow.
And certainly not the science, and we know that.
It's such a racket. We're talking to Representative Kat Kamick from the 3rd Congressional
District
of Florida.
Look at that tennis pun, Jimmy.
I know. I loved it. I thought it was impressive. I thought it was very well executed. This is good fundamental radio. Well, did you not find it laughable that China, like, took shots at us yesterday and said we were the bad guys?
Yes. I mean, what is up with them? They're getting very, very saucy here recently, you know? And one of the things that stuck out to me was the word distort. They said, you know, America is distorting people's worldview of us. You know, and I'm like, that's pretty rich coming from a nation that has really written the book on how to distort anything and everything. You know, oh, manipulate the currency? We wrote the book on that. You know, that's China to the T. Human rights records? Man, we can distort up a human rights record. Genocide, no problem. It's ridiculous. And it seems like they are of that quintessential person who accuses everyone around them of the behavior that they themselves are engaging in.
Oh, it's so true.
That is 100% what they're doing.
It's so true. Like, it's very much like China has gone into, like, Real Housewives mode where they're getting sassy and mouthy, and it's them. But but the only difference is, like, Biden is not going to throw a glass of wine. He's going to throw a can of Ensure, you know?
Does that mean, like, in the meme that we're the cat?
Yeah.
And China is angrily pointing at us.
I know that meme. I know that meme, Kat Kamik. That's hilarious. That's so funny. That just makes me happy. All right, let me ask you about this then, since I got you on the phone and you have no filter. Let's just do this. Karine Jean-Pierre said yesterday that the Biden administration has brought fentanyl down to historic lows. Did she misspeak? Are we living in the death of shame? What happened?
She's just really bad at her job. There are no words left to describe how horrifically awful she is at her job. I mean, I've never, ever seen a White House press secretary who can just 100% lie through their teeth. And if it's not lying, then it is complete ignorance. Mm-hmm. It just completely oblivious of facts or truth. It is wild to me. I was at the border recently with one of my committees doing a fentanyl hearing. Mm-hmm. And the Democrat witness, she said, and I couldn't believe this, I about fell out of my chair. She said, I'm not sure why we're here at the border, because there's no connection between fentanyl and the border.
Wait, what?
And yes. Jimmy, I'll have to send you the clip. I about lost my mind. And I happened to have a picture of a brick of fentanyl that had just been found in my district in Florida. And it was 958 grams of fentanyl. And it had the stamp of a border cartel on it.
What?
And I'm thinking, I had to present it to where I said, this is the connection.
Oh my goodness.
For whatever reason, the Democrats have gone off the reservation saying that there's no connection, that this isn't real. But it's pretty hard to ignore 300 people a day dying of fentanyl poisoning. So that's not – these aren't overdoses. These are poisonings, because people aren't shooting up fentanyl. They're taking what they think is a Xanax or a Percocet or, you know, whatever drug of choice it is.
Yeah, no.
You know?
You know what? Kat, you'd be proud of me. I say this on the show a lot because I feel like they're kind of failing parents in the sense that when you characterize it as an overdose, a lot of parents associate that with, like, problematic runaway drug use. So they don't really police the situation because they're like, well, my kid's not doing that level of drugs. But you're right to say it's a poisoning. A lot of these people are first-time drug users. Somebody wanted to write a term paper. Yeah. They took an Adderall and died. And it's like, it's really psychotic. And I have to get it's a shame. I'm, you know, I've become the dad who has to lecture his kid. But I'm telling, I have one son, Lincoln, he's 14. I have to tell him all the time, like, you actually, it sucks, pal, but you can't do drugs. I'm like, I grew up in a different era. I'm not saying I was doing them, but I had plenty of options and I would have survived all of them. We're not living in that world anymore, Kat Kamik. It's not good.
Exactly. Exactly. And think about how readily they can get them. Yeah. I mean, Snapchat, you can literally get them on Snapchat. They're advertising to kids based on their location. Mm-hmm. I have the CEO of TikTok coming into my office in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about how TikTok has been helping drive this problem even further and wider than we ever thought it could, instead of stopping so much of this behavior. But it's wild times we're living in, Jimmy.
Now, is this TikTok CEO, hasn't he signed up for a grilling on the Hill also? Is that going down?
He has. So I feel pretty lucky. He's coming before the Energy and Commerce Committee. He agreed to one committee, and that was our Committee of Jurisdiction, and he agreed to 4 hours. And so in 2 weeks, he will be doing the first and only congressional hearing. And it's going to be one for the books. We've been preparing. I have spent way more time on TikTok than I would ever care to admit in preparing for this hearing. And I feel dumber for having done it.
Are you now addicted to lip syncing and choreographed dance routines?
Listen, it's the filters that got me. It's the filters that got me.
Well, listen, if you've been on TikTok, the people running it have now spent more time looking at your information than you have theirs because they stole it. But that's another story. Yeah. My goodness.
No kidding.
Well, listen, here's the bottom line, okay? I'm going to be in your hood. We can talk offline about this, but if you guys wind up being around, you're certainly welcome to come down and be our guest and hang out. But listen, there's no pressure. We're going to sell it out. I'm kind of a big star now, you know? But,
ooh,
you know, I'm being
silly. Hasn't gone to your head at all.
No, it actually hasn't. I give myself a hard time, believe me. The voice, you know how it works for me, Kat Kamick, just so you understand, and my audience knows this. The way I run, okay, in media and comedy and everything, is I actually have like a really abusive stage dad who lives in my head, and he calls me names all day. And then right before I go, I'm not kidding. So he's like, you know, you suck. What are you doing? No, how dare you gonna wear that? And then right before I go on TV, he'll be like, you look good, Michael. And then I'm Michael Jackson, and I can sing and dance and do all the stuff I need to do, you know. But that's how it works.
Wow.
No, believe me, I don't walk around thinking I'm cool. I walk around in a flesh prison. I'm a crazy person, but I'm, you know, so, open enough about it. Go ahead.
So it was Joe, right? Joe Jackson.
Yes, of course. It's Joe
of
Jackson.
Of course. So are we gonna do like the Jackson 5? Like, is that the thing that we're gonna do if I show up for this?
Well, listen, you've watched enough TikTok videos. I mean, you're gonna do it anyway at this point. So grab your rhinestone glove and I'll see you in Clearwater. You're the best, Kat Kamick.
Hey, only if you wear those white boots and we new boot goofing.
Hey girl, it's gonna happen. Talk soon. There she goes. The legendary, the one and only Kat Kamick. We love Kat Kamick. I don't know that she's coming to Clearwater, but you can come to Clearwater. There are tickets available. Capitol Theater. It's May 20th. It's a Saturday night. First gig of the Laughs and Liberty Tour is May 6th. Kennedy and I are going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania, May the 6th. If you're in the Reading area, if you're listening on PHT right now in Philly, hey, girl, come on down to Reading. Hang out with me in the K-Train. You're going to have a wild time. See the champ do some stand-up. Kennedy does her thing. Kennedy's going to be on our show tomorrow. It's going to be a banger. This is our contribution to political discourse and the media and everything in between. We are the party people. And what I mean by that is we can analyze these issues with anybody that you see on television. We follow the stuff. We've got to read the hell out of it to be able to cartoon it and have fun. But the contribution Kennedy and I are making to the universe is we're very much giving you the news in a way that allows you to have your applesauce with the vitamins buried inside of it. So you don't even realize you're digesting as much hard news as you do when you're around us because we're silly. But we do that selfishly, not even for you, but for us. Like, that is, you know, my coping mechanism. I think the world is horrible. It's in such a bad spot. So I've learned to laugh about a lot of the insanity as a way of coping with it and doing something productive with my time on the air. And that's kind of the olive branch we offer to you guys. You know, is that we're looking at this as, you know, I say all the time on the radio, the world's on fire, but we're just over here roasting some radio marshmallows. That's the hook. We're the port in the storm of insanity because everybody else is trying to make you crazy. We're just trying to keep things cool.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The critics have spoken.
Well, that was different.
Yep, lousy, but different.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America. My buddy Dion Baia is here.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Oh, stop. But that was a cheap shot. Dion Baia, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you, sir.
Now, folks listening outside the Fox News empire, need to know, Dion Baia is, he's kind of the wolf at Fox News. He makes every TV show here go round. Is that essentially what you do?
Sure, yeah.
You're running the shows on a stage level. You're wiring people up for sound. You're making sure they know where they're going to go. Oftentimes you're on camera actually doing TV hits yourself. He actually does it all. He's making paninis on the 42nd floor after this. He's the guy who trims Geraldo's mustache.
See?
And is probably pound for pound as good of a drug connection as I have here at Fox.
Yeah.
I kid. But the point is, Dion Baia, folks, is a friend of ours. You know, when Donnie Brasco, I say he's a friend of mine, he's a local knockaround guy. But if I say he's a friend of ours, it may guy treat him with respect. He's very much a friend of ours. And Dion and I like to talk movies before I go on TV, because of all the drops I play on the show. Did you think of a movie I need to be pulling sound from?
Yes. Let's see. You have a bunch, which you've already talked about. We talked about Stripes, which
I love Stripes.
From.
Yeah.
Clue.
Ooh.
1985. So many great little references in Clue. You know, little hits. Little hits, one-offs.
Oh, wow.
Any Scorsese movie, which I think you probably already have, like a Taxi
There's
Driver.
There's a lot in here. There's a lot of Taxi Drivers.
King of Comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
Goodfellas.
Here's a great one in King
mean
of Comedy.
Streets.
When they're debating whether or not to put him on the air, they're talking to the lawyers. Jerry's been kidnapped.
Harry, that's it. We're suing. What? We're going to sue.
That's my favorite. The conversation goes sideways, and his lawyer's like, I'm suing everybody. Sue me. What do you say? No, sue everybody.
Yeah.
Sue everybody. So I got to go to Clue. So if you guys are listening to the show next week and you start to hear drops from Clue, you know it was Dion Baia.
Yeah.
Where do you weigh in on Gung Ho? I know I've talked to you about this.
I like
Michael Keaton movie, 1983.
Fabulous. I haven't seen it in years.
Oh, it holds up really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gung Ho is like one of those classic 80s comedies where the cultural misunderstandings make for all the humor.
It's almost like the taking a Pelham 1-2-3. Remember the Walter Matthau with they're escorting the Japanese guys around and they don't realize half the movie they speak English until the end.
Do you want a great drop we play from the show? It happens a lot. Whenever somebody like articulates like a far left policy I don't agree with, this is Gung Ho.
This is a loony. Looney Tunes.
That's all, folks.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
But it's atmosphere, because I consider us atmospheric people. We're just trying to lend good energy to the vibe wherever we go. Is that not our contribution to society?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Your Honor.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just two guys trying to have a good time here. But the point is, if we add more atmosphere next week, you can thank Dion Baia that we're going to go to Clue. Is there anything else you could think of really quick? Go ahead.
Dr. Strangelove, oldie but a goodie. Because of the time we're in, there's, you know, he'll see everything. He'll see the big board, or, you know, like, you know, there's so many good things in that movie. It's a little esoteric, but,
right.
You know.
I'm going to go into that, and I'm going to get into The Killing from Stanley Kubrick, because I've been meaning to chop it up, and I haven't.
A great movie. Sterling Hayden.
Yes.
Elijah Cook Jr.
Oh, yes. Tim Curry.
Yes, we live all that.
All-time great, folks. Dion Baia stopped by.
Thank
get
you for
him
having
out of
me.
Here. Get him out.
I'm stopping. He's the best. But we are out of here. We got to go. I will be on the Sean Hannity Show tonight at 9. If you wake up early, you'll see me on Fox and Friends First and the Faulkner Focus. Back on Hannity tomorrow night. But until then, be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.